Universal guilt during the time of the end. 1906. There is coming, very soon, an almost universal guilt upon the cities that are increasing in determined wickedness. God has given life to the creature man in order that, through a knowledge of the Word and by practicing its principles, the human agent may become one with God, obedient to the divine will. But Satan has been working constantly by many devisings to bring man into disfavor with God. In the antediluvian world, human agencies brought in all manner of devisings and ingenious practices to make of none effect the law of Jehovah. They cast aside his authority because it interfered with their schemes. As in the days before the flood, so now the time is right upon us when the Lord God must reveal his omnipotent power. Even many of those who claim to believe the truth do not practice the truth. They have the word, but they do not live in accordance with its precepts. Their business affairs are not conducted in harmony with its teachings. The devising of men, in executing their own purposes, reveals the masterly hand of the enemy. Satan is working with skill and with deceptive power to counterwork the express will of God, made plain in his word. For years, Satan has been taking control of many human minds. The right doers who would fear and glorify God will use the words of David, "It is time for thee, O Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law." Psalm 119, verse 126. And it is only when men reach this point, in towns and in cities, that the universal perversion of the law of Jehovah becomes a destructive, determined evil. Through his prophet Zephaniah, the Lord specifies the things that he will bring upon evildoers. "I will utterly consume all things from off the land," saith the Lord. "I will consume man and beast, I will consume the fowls of the heaven, and the fishes of the sea, and the stumbling blocks with the wicked, and I will cut off man from off the land," saith the Lord. "I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah, and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcolm, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord, nor inquired for him. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guests. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their masters' houses with violence and deceit." Zephaniah 1, verse 2-9. This is being literally fulfilled, and has been fulfilled for years in the course of some who have had great light and many opportunities to know and understand the ways and works of God. "And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. Howl, ye inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time, that I will search Jerusalem with candles, and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, The Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore, their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. The great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Woe unto the inhabitants of the sea coast, the nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant. Zephaniah 1, verse 10-18, 2:1-3:5. These conditions are to exist, and as a messenger whom God hath sent, I write these words of warning. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord, to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Zephaniah 3, verse 8-13. In this our time, some whose tongues are deceitful have been representing many things that they themselves have formed and testified to, as if the law of truth were in their heart and coming from their lips. But the Lord will surely punish every deceitful, lying tongue that has caused his people to err and to turn from the righteousness of Christ. Sing, O daughter of Zion! Shout, O Israel! Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem! The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not, and to Zion, Let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, he will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Verses 14-20. I have instruction to give from the Lord. The condition of things in Battle Creek is to be clearly marked out and understood. Those who have brought about this condition are sadly deceived, but the Lord will be glorified. All those who have taken counsel of God will walk very humbly before him. In no case are they to be diverted from the light that God has given to his people. They are not to believe falsehoods, published lies. Spiritual transformations are to take place. A voice is to be heard in the tabernacle, giving the word of God in clear notes of warning for this time. God has his human instrumentalities that shall not hold their peace. They are to advocate the word and work and way of the Lord, to be accomplished through his human instrumentalities. In a clear, decided manner, they are to proclaim the truth in distinct lines. None of the dangerous sophistries devised by Satan are to be introduced, for these lead to skepticism of the fundamental truths that the Lord has substantiated by many miraculous evidences during the past half century. A voice is to be heard in clear affirmation of the truth, in contradistinction to the skepticism and fallacies that have been coming in from the enemy of truth. Spiritual transformations will take place, and the working out of the principles of divine truth will reveal the change of character. For the divine agencies are efficient to address the human understanding. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7. Oh, let us win souls to Christ. Let us labor as those who have experienced the virtue of truth as it is in Jesus. There is to be, at this period, a series of events which will reveal that God is the master of the situation. The truth will be proclaimed in clear, unmistakable language. Those who preach the truth will strive to demonstrate the truth by a well-ordered life and godly conversation. And as they do this, they will become powerful in advocating the truth and in giving it the sure application that God has given it. The truth as it is in Jesus, as it was proclaimed by him when he was enshrouded in the pillar cloud, is verity and truth in this our day, and will just as surely renovate the mind of the receiver as it has renovated minds in the past. Christ has declared, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Luke 16, verse 31. As a people, we must prepare the way of the Lord, under the overruling guidance of the Holy Spirit, for the spread of the gospel in its purity. The stream of living water is to deepen and widen on its course. In all fields, nigh and afar off, men will be called from the plow and from the more common commercial business vocations that largely occupy the mind and will become educated in connection with men who have had experience, men who understand the truth. Through most wonderful workings of God, mountains of difficulties will be removed and cast into the sea. When the men who have known and taught the truth turn aside unto their own human understanding and mete out to deceived minds their own dish of fables, it is high time for those who have been drawn away into the management of restaurants to come into line, study their Bibles diligently, and with the Word of God in their hand, let there be created a restaurant from whence may be served Bible food, rich and immortalized by the cooperation of heavenly angels with the human agencies. This kind of work now calls for the workmen of divine appointment. Omnipotence will then say to the mountains of difficulty, "Be thou removed and cast into the sea." The message that means so much to the dwellers upon the earth will be seen and understood. Men will know what is truth. Onward and still onward is the work to advance. The most marked events of providence will be seen and recognized, and it will be seen that the truth bears away the victory. To all students we would say, in the name of the Lord, do not permit yourselves to be held where the spiritual atmosphere is poisoned with skepticism and falsehood, as it is today in some places. Those who have had the evidence of truth, but who for days, weeks, months, and years have had about them a subtle influence that gives a false representation to the truth of God, are not fit teachers for our youth. Where falsehoods are reported as truths is no place for students who are preparing for the future, immortal life. We are seeking heaven, wherein can enter none who have changed the truth of God into a lie. Let every soul who shall read these words understand that any and every large and stupendous event connected with the providences of God that have established the truth is charged with great results. Truth has a spiritual influence. It enters the mind, direct and uncorrupted, from one who is truth. The reception of truth in the inward parts is charged with the greatest results. Truth is to be received into the heart and developed and expressed in the character. No lie is of the truth. On every occasion possible, Satan is on hand to introduce the leaven of his deceptive fallacies. Listen not a moment to the interpretations that would loosen one pin, remove one pillar, from the structure of truth. Human interpretations, the reception of fables, will spoil your faith, confuse your understanding, and make of none effect the truth, which means everything to those who have an understanding of the Word, and who have held fast the form of doctrine that they have received and learned, as represented in the third of Revelation. Read this chapter. Herein is pointed out the danger of losing your hold upon the things that you have heard and learned from the source of all light for something new. "Hold fast," saith the great teacher. Let those who have been deceived come into line and hold fast the truth. Let it not be taken away from you. Read particularly the first three verses of the third of Revelation. Study the words carefully. Take in their full meaning. Remember, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. Verse 3. Why repent? Because there have come in faults in the form of theories so subtle that by the influence of mind upon mind, through the agency of those who have departed from the faith and have given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, the wily foe will cause you imperceptibly to become imbued with the spirit actuating the ones who have beguiled you from the faith. There are many who are in a perilous position spiritually, many who are ready to die. The Revelator was bidden to write to the church in Sardis. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Verses 1-3. There is a censure resting upon those who have heard the truth, received the truth, and then have acted as men spiritually dead. Remember, therefore, in our work we are not to be drawn into any plausible theories that will lead us to deny our past faith in the truth we have heard and advocated. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Verse 3. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Verse 4. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set up my sanctuary in the midst of them for evermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Ezekiel 37, verse 26-27. This last scripture carries our minds forward to the triumph of Israel and Judah. The accomplishment of the work will be through human instrumentalities charged with divine power. All the glory is ascribed to the great power of God. But it is through unity and cooperation of the human with the divine that the result is made possible. Humanity, blended with divinity, grasps the divine efficiency, and the work is complete. We have been filled with pain of heart, which language cannot describe, as we have seen the work that should have been conducted in the purest channels, as a means of bringing souls to a knowledge of the truth, but has proved a snare to capture talents of influence that might have been used in feeding souls with the bread of life. Souls are perishing without a knowledge of the truth. They have not the bread of life to feed upon. God calls for a great work to be done. Shall our hygienic restaurants prove a snare, a mere commercial advantage, and their influence end here? God has not been glorified in any special manner by the hygienic restaurants as ordinarily conducted. It was supposed that much good would be done by preparing food for worldlings, that thereby many would be brought to a knowledge of the truth. But talent has been bound up in enterprises that are run largely on a commercial basis, for the temporal advantages to be gained. This has become a snare, as it were, to hold talent that is to be trained by study and diligent working with souls. God calls upon His servants to take up the work that has been committed to every one who believes His Bible. The end of all things is at hand. Let no one delay. The leaven of evil has been introduced. We must learn to fulfill God's purposes. Those who once were teachers of righteousness, but who have turned from the truth, are wandering in the mists of error. Satan, with much persistency, is striving for the mastery. Christ calls upon those who are still at Battle Creek to obtain a class of education of a character altogether different from the education that they have been receiving there. Students, the Lord Jesus calls upon you to fulfill His commission given just before His ascension to meet the heavenly armies that escorted Him to the city of God, there to be glorified with that most precious company of saints that were resurrected when gloom came about the crucified Redeemer, when awful darkness covered the dying sufferer, and the rocks rent, and men were terrified and exclaimed, "This was the Son of God that was crucified." Matthew 27, verse 52-54. That resurrected company represented those who would come forth from their graves after the time of trouble that is to come upon our world. Those who came forth from their graves appeared before their believing relatives and bore their testimony before them. We have the battle of tribulation before us, but our commission is, Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 19, 20. Who will pass this by and continue in commercial business that will not bring souls to Christ? Shall this condition change? Will you give the last note of warning to the world?